Just before I do preach, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 if you'd like in the meantime. But these John and Romans, our printing ministry, Scripture Printing Ministry Canada, has been able to partner with your church in producing this. We'd previously brought over 3,000, and just a week ago we finished another 7,000 of these for your church. And I've been talking with Pastor Webster. What we would like to do, we also not only print these, but we have an agreement with Canada Post to do bulk mailing. And we would like to target all the apartments in Prince Albert. As you know, apartments are limited access. Most of them have a high security system. They're, you know, a special keyed entry, and you can't get into them. But we can get in through the mail. As well, there's farms all the way around Prince Albert. And so what we want to do is do a special mailing. You've got 3,400 apartments in Prince Albert. And then there's about another 800 farms around Prince Albert. And we'll do a mailing, and Lord willing, we'll do this next week and get these out. And these people get a copy of the John and Romans. Now, what we need to do is we need to be praying that God will bless, that he will protect his word, that it will fall on good soil, and that we'll see a result. And then that these people will come out to church. And I believe you'll get visitors. We've seen that in the past. That people will contact the church, and as a result, souls will be saved. So that's an exciting thing we're looking forward to. And if you'd be praying about that. Well, turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'd like to read three different passages in the book of 2 Corinthians and tie them together. All of these passages will have the word sufficiency or sufficient in them. And please pay attention as we look at these passages. First of all, in chapter 2 and verse number 16, we have the word sufficient. It says, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We have an effect upon those who are saved one way, to those who are not saved another way. But then the Bible says, who is sufficient for these things? That's the question that's asked. Well, if you go to chapter 3, verse number 5, we find the answer to this question, who is sufficient? Chapter 3, verse number 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Who is sufficient? God is sufficient. And then, if you go to chapter 9 now, and verse number 8, once again we have the word sufficiency. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'd like to speak upon the subject of the sufficiency of Christ. Our God is sufficient. Let's have prayer, and then we'll go into the Word of God. Now, Father, we're thankful that we can come into your presence this evening. And we're thankful for who you are, that you are all in all, that you are sufficient in all things, and that we do not have to look to somewhere else, to something else, to find our needs met, that you will meet our needs. Now, Lord, I pray this evening that you'd help me to preach your word. I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And I pray that as he is lifted up, that people would be drawn to him. I pray that, Lord, as he is lifted up, that we'll trust him for our needs. And we're thankful that you are all sufficient. And Lord, if there's anyone that is not saved, I pray that today they would trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Work in our midst, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. As individuals, we have a wide range of feelings and emotions that we experience. Sometimes we feel weak and powerless. Other times we feel lonely. And other times we feel empty. Many other times we will feel defeated or guilty. Furthermore, we'll feel like we're failures. We try and we try and we fail again and again. How do we get over this loneliness, this emptiness, this failure, this guilt? How do we experience victory on a consistent basis in our lives? Well, the answer to all of these problems and questions is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is our all in all. He is our sufficiency. Now, if you look at our text verse, chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible here starts out with saying this: not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. The first thing I want to consider this evening is that we are not sufficient in ourselves. Did you know that when God created you, and he's created every single person here, every person in the whole world, did you know that he purposely made you insufficient? I don't know if you ever considered that. God purposely created you insufficient. This is not a failure on his part, but rather it is a plan on his part. Why did he make you insufficient? So that you would turn to him and find your sufficiency. See, God never designed that we would exist, that we would live without him. In him we live and move and have our being. He wants you to find all of your needs met in him. And so he has made us insufficient in ourselves. We've been created, yes, in the image of God. We have been made in his likeness. And God has made us with amazing potential, and he has made us with amazing power. But yet, this is not enough. We still have other needs that can only be met by him. When we think about sufficiency, it may be good to, first of all, define what sufficiency is. If any of you have heard much of my preaching before, you know I have one favorite person to go to find meanings, and that is Noah Webster. His 1828 Dictionary of the English Language is a book that is a priceless resource. Noah Webster is very exact and precise in his definitions. And he oftentimes will spare no words in defining a term. But Noah Webster is very profound when he defines the word sufficiency. He defines it with one word. Sufficiency means enough. Enough. God is enough. You need nothing else. He's sufficient. Now, Noah Webster does go on to expound a little bit further upon what is enough. He says, sufficiency, enough, equal to the needs or wants. So if you have a need, you have a want, God is equal to that need. And if he's equal to that need, then you need nothing else. He is the supply of all of our wants. Now, not only, though, does the Bible teach that God is equal to your needs, he is more than equal, because he causes us to abound. The word abound means to be full and overflowing. God not only wants to provide your need, he wants to do more than that. He wants to provide your need and more than your need so that you can help provide the needs of others. I like what one old preacher said. He said that when God makes your cup full and running over, the saucer is going to get blessed as well. And so he not only gives you what you need, but he also gives you something that you can share with other people. Be a blessing to them. Our God is sufficient. Therefore, he has made us to be dependent upon God so that we would look to him and trust in him. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 7. I'll show you this here. Chapter 4, verse number 7. We're told this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what is the earthen vessel that's being talked about here? Somebody have the idea, what is the earthen vessel? Our bodies, exactly. You're made out of dirt. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return, and you're an earthen vessel. Now, there's not a whole lot of worth in an earthen vessel. I don't know what it is today, but when I was a boy, I was told that the chemical value of the body, the human body, is about 98 cents. It probably is inflated to a few dollars, but there's not a whole lot of value just chemically. We're an earthen vessel. However, the fact that we are made by God gives us intrinsic value. And notice what it says there furthermore in chapter 4 and verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. God has made us as earthen vessels, insufficient, incapable, that the treasure, that the value, that the power may be of God and not ourselves. See, there's many things that we are incapable of doing. That's not a fault on God's part, but rather it's his plan, so that we will go to him and find power, find strength, find wisdom, find ability, find grace, so that through him we can do all things. And if we do it through him, then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And so we give him the praise and glory for that. So we are insufficient in ourselves. The second point is this: only God is self-sufficient. Only God is self-sufficient. How do we know that he's self-sufficient? Well, we know that he's self-sufficient by his very name. The name of God is Yahweh or Jehovah. The meaning of that name is the self-existent one and the self-sufficient one. No one created God. He always has been. He always will be. Nobody gave God anything. He has everything, though. He is self-sufficient. Matter of fact, God needs nothing. Paul, as he's writing or speaking to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17. Hold your place in our text and go to Acts chapter 17 for just a moment, please. Acts 17 and verse number 24 through verse 28. We read this: God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Here the Bible says God needs nothing. Rather, he gives to us everything, life and breath and all things. Now, if you think that you're self-sufficient, you stop breathing God's air. You stop looking at God's light. You stop drinking God's water and see how long you will exist. You will exist only minutes or hours at the most. Go ahead, stop breathing. See how long you will live. You'll probably be unconscious within 5 minutes. He gives us what? Life and breath and all things. But he needs nothing himself. Some people mistakenly have a very sentimental idea about God. They think that God made people because he was lonely and wanted somebody to talk to. No, he didn't make us because he was lonely. He made us to be objects of his love. He made us so that he could show his glory and power upon us. He made us so that he could redeem us. He needs nothing. And furthermore, verse 26 says, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Then notice verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Do you see this? God is self-sufficient. He is sufficient in himself. He needs nothing, but he gives to us everything. And he has made us insufficient so that we would seek after him, that we would find him, that we would trust in him, that we would find our needs met by him. Therefore, we need to worship God. We need to give to God, and we need to serve him. Now, if God has all things, why does God tell us to give to him? He wants us to give to him as an act of thanksgiving and an act of worship. When I was a young boy, my grandmother knitted a pair of baby booties for Queen Elizabeth. And she was working hour after hour in these baby booties. It was her last child, I think, that was born. And did Queen Elizabeth need a pair of baby booties for her baby? No. What was my grandmother doing? She was showing her love and honor to the queen. And we worship God and we give to God to show our love and our honor and our praise to him, his worth. I don't know if, I think it was probably what Prince, Who's up on the royalty, the last child that was born? Was it? Okay, you don't know any more than I know. Okay, we're fair. Pardon? Wasn't there one after Charles? Andrew, wasn't it Prince Andrew? Yeah, okay, I think it was Prince Andrew. I don't know if he ever wore those baby booties. But at least she got to get the experience and the joy of giving to the Queen. And when we give to God, we get the joy and the happiness of being able to do that. Now, we oftentimes think that if I could just have something, and we think thoughts apart from God, if I could just have something, I would be so happy. I would be fulfilled. I would need nothing else. For instance, people think if I just had a husband, I would have somebody to love me. I'd have somebody to love. And if I could just have that man, oh, I wouldn't need anything else. Or that man will think, oh, if I could just have that woman, she'd be everything I need, and I'd need nothing else, and I'd be so happy. Can your wife or your husband meet all of your needs? And would you always be happy if you had them? Well, I can tell you this, by the number of divorces, it proves that they can't meet all of your needs. They can't make you totally happy. You need something more than just a husband or a wife. Then there'll be parents that say, you know, if we just had children, if we could just hold a baby, if we could just raise children, we'd be so happy, we'd be so fulfilled. We need nothing else. And God does give children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He maketh the barren woman to have children, to be the joyful mother of children. And yet, do children give you everything that you need? Children, they are a blessing, but they can also cause great grief. Do you know the greatest heartache that a person can probably experience is when their child walks away from God? When their child says, I don't want to serve God. For a Christian parent, that is the greatest sorrow I think you can experience. And so children, they're wonderful, but they can't meet all your need. This church, it's a good church. You've got a good pastor. You've got good people. But can this church meet all of your needs? It can't. They try to do their best to meet your needs, but they can't meet them all. Why? Because only Christ can meet all of your needs. The best the church can do is point you in the right direction. Point you to Jesus Christ and say, he is the one that you need. And here's how you find him. Here's how you have that relationship with him. Other people think if I just had something, I would be fulfilled. They say, you know, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be so happy and I'd have no more problems and no more needs. If you won the lottery, would that make you happy and that would that fulfill all of your needs? No. Matter of fact, the studies that have been done show that a person who wins the lottery usually in worse financial condition 6 months later than they were before they won the lottery. They're more unhappy than what they were before they had won the lottery. Many people get divorced, have suicides and all kinds of problems after they get this rush of money. Or people say, if I could just have another drink, if I could just have another dose, all my problems would go away. Can drugs, can liquor, can any other substance meet your true needs? No. Oftentimes, it just compounds your problems. And so the scripture says that we are not sufficient in ourselves. Only God is sufficient. Then go back to our text here, 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Then it says to think anything as of ourselves. Here we need to bring our thinking in line with reality. We should not think anything as of ourselves. When you think something of yourself and you don't give God the glory for it, what is that called? Pride. Pride is thinking more of yourself than what you ought to think. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, that we ought not to think more of ourselves than what we ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We need to recognize that everything comes from God. And it is in Him we live and breathe and have our moving. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so we do not think that our money, our strength, our wisdom is of ourselves, but rather that it comes from God. Jesus said this about trusting in yourself. He said, "The flesh profiteth nothing," John 6:63. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Paul said this in Romans 7:18. "In me, that is in my flesh, this earthen treasure, dwelleth no good thing." And so we realize that in ourselves, we do not have the ability, we do not have the strength, we do not have the wisdom. Without Christ, we can do nothing. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving really is think-giving. Because the word thank and the word think have the same origin. When you give thanks, you think about what you've received. And you give the acknowledgement to God. A person who will not be thankful is also a person who is not thoughtful. Jesus healed 10 lepers. How many turned back to give thanks? One. Only one was thoughtful of what God had done. The others took it for granted. Then look at the last part of the verse here. But our sufficiency is of God. Who meets our needs? Who is more than enough for us? It's God. He is all sufficient. Let's just think for a minute about the sufficiency of God. How sufficient is He, and how will He meet our needs? Well, if you need grace, will God give you grace? Yes, He will. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul, he is afflicted with a thorn in the flesh. He prays to God for healing, and God says no. He says no because my grace is more than sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul realized this. When I am physically weak, but I trust in Christ's strength, he makes me stronger than when I was physically strong. He has all the grace, all the power, all the strength that we need. And so Paul said, I'm content to be sick. I'm content to be weak, because that makes me trust in Christ. And when I trust in Christ, I can do more than if I was strong in myself. He has all the grace that we need. God doesn't necessarily take away your problems. He may give you grace to overcome your problems. All-sufficient grace. All-sufficient strength. Do you need strength to do something? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's nothing that you ought to do, that God commands you to do, that you cannot do through him. Did you know that there's some things that God commands us to do that we do not have the power to do? We don't have the ability to do it. But he gives us the ability if we'll trust in him. For instance, the Lord has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. But does every Christian do that? When you have soul winning, Pastor, what percentage of the church shows up for that? About what percentage? 5%. You know what that means? It means 95% of the church doesn't think they can do it. They're too afraid. And of those 5% that show up, they're scared to death too. They just believe that God will somehow give them the strength, the power, the grace to do it. God doesn't want us to witness in our own power. What does Acts 1:8 say? Somebody quote Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, he gives us power, and then we're witnesses. He doesn't say, be witnesses in your own power. And I've tried that before, and it doesn't work. It's like you're talking to a brick wall. But he wants us to be witnesses in his power. So when you get this straight, you realize I can do all things now through his power. All sufficient grace, all sufficient strength, all sufficient power, all sufficient provision. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need through his riches in Christ Jesus. Do you have a need? He has the provision for the need. Why? Because he's the possessor of heaven and earth. Heaven is mine and earth is my footstool, saith the Lord. He has everything that you need. What about wisdom and knowledge? Again, the Lord is all sufficient. In Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:3 says, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the omniscient God. That means the all-knowing God. He knows everything. Did you realize that there's nothing that ever takes God by surprise? God never has a moment where he says, I didn't know that. Or my, that's amazing. No, he knows everything. Everything from the past and everything into the future. They're all known unto God. The Bible tells us known to God are all his works from the foundation of the earth. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. If you need wisdom, if you need knowledge, where do you go? You go to the Lord. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. And he will give us the wisdom. What does James 1 and verse 5 say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you go to him and ask him for wisdom, wisdom is knowing what to do, he will tell you what to do. And when God gives you instruction, it's always going to be right. What about comfort? Are you lonely? Are you sorrowful? Where do you go to find comfort? You go to the God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Every trial, every tribulation that you have, God has the comfort to meet that need. So you don't have to feel alone. You don't have to feel sorrowful or hopeless. And then he says that we may be able to comfort them by which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He not only gives you enough comfort for yourself, but then he gives you the ability to show comfort to other people. Other people who don't know how to go to God and find comfort. And you can go to them, you can say, you know, I found something that really helped me. I know what you're going through. And God wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He'll give you comfort. Many years ago, my wife had a miscarriage. And that is a very, very difficult thing. For a mother who wants a child to miscarry. And she went to the Lord and found comfort for that. It wasn't too long after that, there was another lady in the church that had a miscarriage. And she was able to go to that lady and show her how God comforted her. And where she could find the comfort of the Lord. And so God is sufficient for all things. There's nothing that he is not sufficient for. Now, go to chapter 9 and verse number 8. Once again, let's look at this here. About the sufficiency of God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now here it says he is able to have all grace abound. What's the word abound mean again? Full and overflowing. More than enough. That ye always having all sufficiency. Always, the idea here of always is every single moment of every day. In all things, in every area, may abound to every good work. Every good work. Because of the sufficiency of God, we never have to do an evil work. We can always do every good work. if we ever do an evil work, what's it mean? We're not dependent upon Christ. We've depended upon something else, some inferior, some counterfeit. Just in closing here, let me give you a practical application of this. If you're lonely, what do you do? Do you go to some wrong, ungodly thing? For instance, if a fella's lonely, do you go to pornography or prostitution to find companionship, to find your needs met? Or cannot you go to the Lord? As the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 6, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. You say, Lord, I have a need. I'm so lonely. I'm so frustrated. And I'm tempted. But Lord, you've said that you're all sufficient. And Lord, will you give me that fulfillment, that companionship, that comfort that I need, that I not sin? And will the Lord do that? Yes, he will. When a person is tempted with drugs or liquor, you've got problems, you've got heartaches, do you go to the drugs or the liquor and try to medicate yourself with those things? Or can you go to the Lord and tell him your problem and say, Lord, I've got problems and I don't know what to do. I've got heartaches. I've got troubles. I'm tempted to drink. I'm tempted to do drugs. But Lord, your word says you're all sufficient. And so Lord, would you give me power? Would you give me strength? Would you work in my life and solve these things for me? And will he not do that? He will. You don't need to turn to these other things. Because he is all sufficient. He's more than enough. When you feel guilty and you feel such a failure, do you quit? Do you make excuses? Or cannot you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've sinned. I failed once again. And I feel so rotten. But you've said that if we confess our sins to you, you will forgive us. And you'll cleanse us. And you've said that you'll give us strength and power. So Lord, I'm coming to you now. And I need your forgiveness. I need to know that you have forgiven me. And I want your strength. And you've said that if I will trust you, you will give me the ability to do what's right. And you can find the sufficiency of God. If you're confused, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. And he who has all wisdom, he that knows everything, can give you the wisdom and the knowledge. He's all sufficient, and so that you will know what you should do and the way that you should go. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Whatever need you have, he's there. Do you need salvation? Are you lost? Without Christ on your way to hell? Maybe you've tried to reform your life. Maybe you've tried to do good works. Maybe you've tried religion, and these things will never work. because God has designed that they would not work. Only Christ is the Savior. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one alone who can save us. And so you come to him. You say, Lord, I'm done trying these other things. I need forgiveness. I need salvation. And Lord, will you save me and will you keep me? And what does the Bible say in Hebrews 7:25? He is able to save us to the uttermost, to them that come unto him. The uttermost means to the very last degree. And he will save you completely. He will save you forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. And he has the power to forgive you. He has the power to keep you. He has the power to transform you. Just come as you are. He's all sufficient. Our God is sufficient. Come to him and find your sufficiency in him. And anytime you begin to feel these feelings, you have the feeling of guilt. It should be a reminder, I need to go to God and tell him my sin and find forgiveness. I feel weak. I go to him and find strength. I'm confused. I go to him and find wisdom. I'm afraid. I go to him and find faith. And I find the courage that I need to go on. All sufficient. Just trust the Lord. Well, let's stand together for prayer.